study on the subject of whatever spiritual family means, like he said, this is with you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Can we get a volunteer to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 11? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 11.
But also, for this reason, giving all diligence and your faith virtue. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. 11.
Yes.
Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
So in verse number 8, Peter, at the end of these assignment, he said, for if these things are yours, and about if these things are yours, those things are in verses 5 through 7. If these things are yours and abound, these things need to be added to your faith, which are attainable. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as we said last week, God will never ask you to do something that you cannot do. Yeah? So any goal, even in business, your goals must be realistic and achievable. So Jesus, Peter, Apostle Peter says, if these things are yours, this is personal. It's not your name, this is yours. And abound, he says, abound means literally and are increasing. And are increasing. Peter again stressing the need for continual growth. Yeah? Every day, continual growth. He says, we will be useful to the Lord and bear much fruit, according to Matthew 13:23. But he who receives a seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So it's not just a matter of hearing, it's about doing. Yeah, so you've got to do something with the information that you have. All of us have information. Every last one of us, every day, information. You're looking at your watch, you want to know what time it is. You want to know which road to take. You want to know what to put, information, yeah? You listen to the radio, the TV, but he said, he who received the seed is the word, on good ground. What is the ground? Your heart. Is he who hears the word and what? Understands it. I can teach you a lot of things, but I cannot understand you anything. The Bible says, in all thy getting, get understanding. Yeah? And how do we understand? A lot of times we understand by making mistakes, isn't that right? So people tell you something, the doctor says, the lawyer says, the policeman says, then you say, you mess up. Oh, no, I understand. So God tells us stuff. Mm-hmm. No, we get it. You get it? And it says, who indeed bears fruit. What is fruit? What is the definition of fruit? What is fruit? The evidence of the tree. Yeah? What's the evidence of a Christian? The fruit of a Christian, another Christian. But also, we must also have the fruit of the Spirit. You can't say you're in Christ if there's no fruit. Yeah? So I'm looking, when you plant the tree, you don't plant the tree for the leaves, you plant it for the fruit. Yeah, right? So God planted us to what? Bear fruit and be productive. Some of us will be 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's based on your ability. Yeah? So information, understanding, production. Yes. Therefore, the Bible says, true knowledge of God can only be attained by persons who grow morally. That's 2 Peter 1:5-7, which we've already studied. Grows morally. And so Peter says, if we do not, what will happen if we don't add to our faith? Is what Peter deals with in verse 9. For he who lacks these things, how can you tell if a person is not fruitful? Peter lets you know in these next verses. He who lacks these things, he says, is short-sighted even to blindness. In other words, nearsighted. Anybody know what myopia is? What is myopia?
Short-sighted.
What's the opposite of myopia? What is the opposite of myopia? Yeah, so you've ever heard the expression, you can't see the forest for the trees? What does that mean? What does that mean? You can't see what's right in front of you. You can't see what's right in front of you. You know you're in trouble. Trouble is right in front of you. You can't see. So he said, short-sighted, dim-sighted, focus upon the things of this world, unable to see that which can only be seen how? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says what? So then we walk by faith, not by myopia. That's optics. Quite often, faith sees and believes in what it doesn't see. Yeah? I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know God's going to work this out. I don't know where this is going. I'm not sure what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know who has the answer. Sight says it's not going to work. Because you know what our problem is? We're so busy walking by sight. Isn't that right? Yeah. Walking by sight. God has so much more for us. God has so much more for us. Yeah? For this congregation, for you as an individual, for your family, it has so much more for us. So, this word, short-sighted, in the Greek, the first part of that is myo, to shut up. To shut up. Not to shut up like in a rude thing, to shut up, to close. Yeah. And ops, the eye. You heard the word optic. Optic is the eye. In the word autopsy, what's an autopsy? An autopsy is a visual examination. A visual examination. So the mortician, the forensic pathologist, he's doing a visual examination. Yeah? And remember in Peter, when they say this, Peter, James, and John were on the mountain, or the Mount of Transfiguration. We studied that the other night, Brother Jules. And he said, we were eyewitnesses. In other words, we autopsy Jesus. You see that? So, to shut up the eye, the op, in the English is myopic, or myopic. The root mu signifies a sound made with closed lips, mute. It's not making any sense. The root mu signifies a sound made with closed lips, for example. In other words, to mutter, mute. In 2 Peter 1:9, it means seeing only what is needed.
I
can't see the big picture. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. What's the rest say? That they shall mount up like eagles and what? What's the difference between an eagle and a chicken? What's the difference between an eagle and a chicken? I love it. God created the chicken to walk on the ground. He created the eagle to fly up high so the eagle can see more. Huh? But you know what we come. Imagine you saw an eagle walking around on the ground. You say, something's wrong. God did not create the eagle to walk around like a chicken. He wants Christians to be like eagles. While some of us are content to stay on here, so our perspective, our point of view, is limited. But if we get, you get that? That scripture means something. So our mindset, our vision must be up here, because if not, we only see what is near and cannot see afar off. And this does not contradict the preceding word blind. Yeah, it qualifies this word blind. He of whom it is true is blind in that he cannot discern spiritual things. He is nearsighted, myopia, in that he is occupied in regarding what? That's down here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, just like a chicken. If, where's heaven? Down here is us. If heaven's not my home, then. So every day, we've got to condition ourselves. Just like Peter said, if you lack these things, he is short-sighted, even to blindness. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but not physically blind, spiritually, but now. He raised us up. You see, that's why when you go down to the Baptist church, you got to come up. Come up. Don't stay down there. Come on up here. A newness. That's not just newness of life in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to change our thinking. Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah? So, all of us are in danger of this. You go to the doctor, there was a time, let me tell you something. I had glasses for 5 years. There was a time, 2020 vision. 2020, but I can see very clearly what far I can read. Anything. But close up, I can see this. But when I put on my glasses, it's like 3D. Huh? So God wants us to have these spiritual glasses on. Huh? So he wants us to be able to see through the eyes of faith. If it doesn't make sense, maybe that's faith. If it doesn't make sense, maybe that's faith. God wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. So he says, even till blindness. Yeah? So, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17 says what? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17 says what? This is to the lukewarm church. So I'll read that for us.
For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind and naked.
Not physically blind, but spiritually blind. Let me give you another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3 and 4. Can we read that for us? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Vitality, and this is a continue. He says, who forgives. Not, it doesn't say he who forgave, it said who forgives. This is an ongoing lesson. You see that? So we must not forget that we were cleansed from these things. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, what does that say? You know these verses.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome the latter. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them.
Verse 22.
But it has happened to them according to the truth proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a soul having washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Thank you. This is talking about the Christian who has escaped the pollution of the world and turned his back. These are the consequences of turning your back on Christ after knowing the truth. After tasting his blessings, he says, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, in verse 20, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So God freed us from the corruption and entanglement of the world. You came out of that and now you're going right back into the same mess and worse. Yeah? You remember in the Gospels, Jesus told the story about the demon possessed man, and he cleaned the house, this man cleaned the house and got rid of the demons, and he didn't put anything back. And then, see, if you don't replace what is bad with something good, what comes after is going to be 10 times worse. You know, right? And I can say, personally, my life was in mess for a long time. I said, Lord, there was one day I woke up, and when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, I said, Lord, what happened? What happened? I walked away from the Lord. So I had to make my way back, just like the prodigal son. The prodigal son left the father's house, remember there in Luke, asked the father for all his inheritance, and he went and lived a righteous life, lost it all, and ended up in the pig pen, eating the slop with the pigs, a Jewish boy. And the Bible says he came to himself. The Bible doesn't say how long between the time he left his father's house and he came to himself. Some people never come to themselves. That's what Peter's talking about here in 2 Peter. He says in verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. It would have been better had they never even known about the gospel. This is what the Bible says. It says, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit. That's it, turn your stomach, it ought to. And a sow, that's a pig, having washed you good, some people have pet pigs. Some people have pet pigs, they have them right in the house, bring them in the bay up with them. No, you can wash that pig up, put a bow tie on it, spray perfume on it, put lipstick on it, but guess what the pig's nature is? To get out there in the muck. Huh? That's something, because that's what God designed them to do. He says, and a sow having washed to wallowing where? In the mind. God did not create us to live in pig pens. He didn't create us to walk around like chickens. He didn't create us for that. So he says, he's forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. But he says, if you do these things, be even more diligent. Hebrews 11 and 6. Be even more diligent. So having that's your warning. So having learned that, don't go on that road. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. How are we called? How are we called? How are Christians called? Buying through the gospel. Amen. You're not going to have a dream, a vision. No, it's buying through the gospel. Our calling and election are conditioned upon us doing these things. Yeah? The clear and necessary implication is in this verse is that we can all fall. That's the consequence. All of us can stumble. There are no super Christians. How do we know that? The scripture says, for all have sinned. Your sin might not be my sin, but we all have sinned. Yeah? And if you tell me you don't have sin, I know what you're saying is lying. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's where God's grace. Remember we talk about grace? up in our class, grace and mercy, Brother Jim. Grace and mercy. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Yeah. Our calling and election are conditioned upon us doing these things. The clear and necessary implication is we can fall. Yeah, you see this here? Look, you see that? Add to your faith, all of us are going to be building something. Building on our faith every single day. Because Satan, you know what Satan did? Here you are, you're adding, and Satan said, oh, no, I'm going to knock that brick out. Self-control, no. Perseverance, I'm going to work on that one too. Why am I going through what I'm going through? What did we say last week? There are no problems in life. What are they? Opportunities for growth. Opportunities for growth. When I say to myself, I ask myself the question, whenever I go through something, why am I going through this? And what does God want me to learn? Add to your faith. And if you miss that lesson, you can't graduate until you do what? Pass the exam. I keep going through the same thing over and over. You haven't passed the exam yet. Never. So, we can all fall. All
right.
Yes.
Other than means, by the way, that John will talk about that.
Can you do one? That's a good question, Brother Luck is asking, can we jump the order of these? For some, yes. Because see, all of us are on different levels. So today you might be working on one thing, the next day you may be working on something, just like the fruit of the Spirit. Satan will test us in different ways. Just think of eating. You don't eat the same meal every day. The body requires different things at different times. And then in our lives, just like the Ephesians 6, pulling the whole armor of God, the armor is for different things, different parts of different things. And so that's a good question. You might be working on one thing today, I might be working on, and you might go back and forth. You may stay on that self-control for a long time.
Yes.
You see that? Every day.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah, so good question. And so the reality is all of us face challenges. And sometimes we beat ourselves up unnecessarily because you think, what's wrong with me? No, there's nothing wrong with you. This is a part of the Christian journey. And Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is letting us know up front These are the things that you must do. Fortify yourself. Yeah? It's like you taking vitamins and different supplements or whatever, what, to build yourself up for when the storms come. Don't wait until a storm comes or fire comes to go and fight by a fire extinguisher. Huh? You have to, it's better to have it. Amen. They need and don't need it, then not to have it and need it. Huh? You don't say when it's a fire. Let me go out and buy your fire extinguisher. No, you buy it just in case. Amen. We buy insurance. We do all of these things preventatively in the natural, but what do we do spiritually? We get caught off guard because we don't prepare. We do not prepare. We go in unaided, unguarded, unprepared. Yeah? So, he says, make your election sure. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 14.
So we are not particularly surprised. We wrote the beginning of our confidence, steadfast, not to the end.
Yeah, so to verse 19, please.
Why it is said today, if you hear the voice, have not a heart as a provocation. For some, when they are hard, this provoke, happy not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. For his son who was angry 40 years, but it's not with them that have seen, both scattered fell in the wilderness, and whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Unbelief. Just imagine. Israel went down to Egypt. God heard their cry. He sent a deliverer through Moses. He led them out through the Red Sea. And then they died in the wilderness. Why? Because of unbelief. They were murmuring. They could have done, God could have allowed them to die in Egypt, but he didn't. He sent a deliverer, they were rescued, and through their unbelief, they died in the wilderness. Isn't that something? Imagine, you invest your whole life in serving Christ and fall short because of our lack of faith. Lack of faith. Yeah? And so he says in verse chapter 4 of Hebrews, in verse number 1, therefore, as a result of that, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short. Huh? Romans 15, 14, the things that are written for our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Everything that was written was for our learning. Yeah? You don't have to go down that same route. And so our election and security are not unconditional. God will do his part, but we've got to do our part too. I keep telling you about that Sister Grace Simmons, so she was a good sister. She used to say, Brother Smith, God works when we work. God works when we work. Okay. Just meditate on that a little bit. Here's what's going on. Something ain't getting on because we're not doing anything. Isn't that right? Now, God's going to do what he's going to do, but it's still waiting on, we are his hands. We are his feet, we are his eyes, we are his mind. Yeah? To take this message into the world. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John chapter 10. And verses 27 to 29. It says what?
Okay. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand.
A lot of these verses, Jesus talks about the true shepherd. He says, my sheep hear my voice. How can the sheep hear the shepherd's voice if they're not close enough to the shepherd? How can the sheep hear the shepherd's voice if they're not close to the shepherd? You know what our problem is? We stray. Far. Your shepherd is calling us and we don't hear. And it goes the other way. Now, if the shepherd's not present, the sheep can't hear his voice, can it? So it's gonna go both ways. My sheep, personal, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And that goes in line with verses 3 and 4. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's relationship. Now, who's following you? Do they know your voice? That's relationship. This 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. That's personal. Not my neighbor shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. So he says in verse number that's my one in there. John 10 verse 28. I give them eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is a present possession and a future hope. Eternal life is a present, you have it now, and you will taste the reality in the future. Yeah? He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish. That's God's desire. Huh? That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not. Perish. That's God's desire. But if we perish, it's because we've not done our part. They shall have eternal, and they shall never perish. And he says, they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. See, the problem is, sometimes the sheep are in somebody else's pasture, and we're in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing, instead of being over here with the shepherd. You remember he talks about the hireling, when trouble comes, he runs. They're not gonna follow anybody else's voice. You went up to Scotland beginning of this month. Went up to Scotland, you see sheep everywhere. And they've got some of them have little blue dot, one's got a red dot one. So what happens if two set of sheep get mixed in? Now the shepherd's gonna call his sheep and the blue dot's gonna go with the blue dot shepherd. Because he's taking the time to build a relationship with him. You see that? So he's saying, therefore, if your election should be even more diligent to make your election sure. Why? He says 4 in verse 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's at the end. That's at the end. Yeah. But now, you've got to do something. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. Faith is what puts us into Christ, and faith is what will keep us in Christ. Did you know that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 13, 1 Corinthians 13, 13 says what? And then that's the end. 1 Corinthians 13, this is 13. And now by faith, hope, charity, or love, but the greatest of these is love. Why is love? What happened to faith? I mean hope. What happened to faith and hope? What happened to faith and hope?
Because when Jesus comes, you don't need hope.
You won't need faith when Jesus comes. Faith believes in what it doesn't see. You'll see him. Faith to faith. You won't need hope, because hope, the Bible says, the anchor that pierces the veil of heaven. You won't need hope, because you will be in the reality. But the greatest of these is love. One day faith will come to me. Did you know that? One day hope will come to me. My hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus' love. And so, my encouragement to each of us, and they ask me to, maybe continue to practice this discipline that we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5. Any questions? Yes.
Most times I go through the Word of God, and sometimes I cross and ask myself questions. Yeah. So,